The one here on Lake Community Hall, April 4th, 2016.
If you have the wherewithal, we have one more meeting to go through. It'll be fast. I'd like to call the order for the Village of Round Lake Committee of the Whole meeting, April 4, 2016, at 7:29 p.m. Madam Clerk, roll call.
Trustee Foy.
Present.
Trustee Fry.
Present.
Trustee Carly.
Present.
Trustee Newby.
Present.
Trustee Fred Smith. Trustee Rodriguez. Trustee Turpin.
Present.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Let us get a motion for item 2.1, approve the minutes of the Committee of the Whole meeting of March 21, 2016. Motion made by Trustee Fry, seconded by Trustee Newby. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Any public comment? Thank you all again for being here. Under Committee of the Whole, Human Resources and Finance.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Board of Trustees. In front of you, you will find an engagement letter for the fiscal year 2016 engagement letter. We're at the end of the year, the end of this month, and we ask August, the third year of the 5-year contract with the Hitch, and we ask them to send us an engagement letter to get this started sometime the end of this month.
How long has tickets been with you?
This is the third year of this contract. They were with us for 5 years. The others before that were here for at least 24. When we sent out the first proposal, they were lowest, and again, they were lowest with this one. I think we have a policy that we have to go out for our year for 5 years. They cost about. Can't hurt to test the waters every 5 years to make sure it's the lowest cost.
Very good. Move this forward.
Second, I have a budget amendment for the 2016 budget. We had two funds that I request in increased budgets. One, the 2011 debt service fund, which is what we pay the senior citizen utility tax rebate. We had greater participation this year than 2 years past, so I'd like to increase that budget by $2,000. And then the police pension fund budget, I'd like to increase that by $250,000. We had one person that had struggle service transfer, which was $185,000 alone. And then we had two other officers that requested refunds of their contributions that totaled the other $48,000.
Okay. He's down the
road. Move.
I got to move forward.
Move so forward. O'Shea received a refund, and Officer
DeMarco received a refund in Wayne, moved his credible service.
The biggest piece of that was Wayne's credible service is what happens is you have to take his contributions into the fund and the tax that we did throughout the course he was here. It's usually double, or almost double his contributions. So that's why we're for $85,000 just for Wayne. Keep in mind that liability goes away. Right?
Much closer to the
scribe. And you're replacing that person with more younger officers, longer to fund his pension.
Actuaries like that.
Yeah. Any other questions?
Move it forward.
Yeah.
We'll move that forward, please. Thank you, Mr. Ferris. Public Works.
Mr. Mayor, Board of Trustees. The first item that I'd like to talk to you about is a pump at the Arden Lift Station, the sanitary sewer lift station, and the pump in Sealvale. Which means that it needs a new blower seal, and this pump also needs a new impeller. Right now it's kind of barely limping along, but because the lower seal has already failed, it puts the upper seal at risk of failing, and if that fails, the pump will stop living. We have two options. We can either fix the pump or replace the pump. Fixing the pump would cost about $22,000 for the skid kit and the replacement parts. Replacing the pump would cost $7,800. I'm requesting permission to replace the pump. Fixing the pump, there's no guarantee on how much longer it would last. Could be 2 years, could be 5 years, probably not much more than five. The other pump that's in that lift station has already had the seals replaced, but not the impeller, which means the impeller is probably in equally bad shape. My concern is that with both pumps being rebuilt and both pumps being the same age, there's a higher likelihood that both pumps could go out in the same 2 to 3 month window. And to get a replacement pump, depending on what's in stock at the manufacturer at the time, it could be 8 to 10 weeks out to get a replacement. And I would prefer to not have both pumps go out in that 2 to 3 month window and not have anything in that lift station. I'd like to have at least one strong pump in there, and then we'll carry the other one until it dies, knowing that we've got a solid backup.
So the liaison's recommendation is to replace the pump.
Can I ask the pump that was, the seals were already repaired, how long ago was that?
That was 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
How long can the pump typically last?
It varies by every lift station. Every lift station, the pumps are sized for the size of the wet well, the size of the force main, and the distance it has to pump. So every pump is a little bit different, and every pump wears a little different. In Hardin lift stations, for some reason, we seem to get a lot of rags or fibrous material in there that really abuses the pumps more than in other lift stations. School lift station, we seem to not have any problems there just because of the area that it's in. Whatever's being flushed through that system seems to be jumping on the pumps. So it's hard to say.
Are these the original pumps?
They are.
So they're like 11 years old, 10 years old?
They're 12 years old, yep.
Wow. I'm all for it.
Okay. Rush forward.
There's still discussion. Hold on, folks.
The question was, should we order them now before the next? Will you give us the ability to order them now before the next board meeting?
Sure.
I don't know how long.
Why not? Yes. Why not?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Follow the rules anytime.
This is going to be a motion. It's emergency.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can qualify this as emergency. Okay, a little order here so we can hear what's going on. I don't know if this qualifies as an emergency. More of a concern.
If the board is in favor of purchasing a replacement pump, Flight has a pump in stock right now, and if I call them tomorrow, they will probably hold that for us if you want to wait for final approval at the next board meeting. If that's okay, it's not a different.
As long as you know
you can go for that long.
Yeah.
My concern, can you afford to take any extra time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable waiting 2 weeks. It's the 8 to 10 weeks that would make.
Right. So if you don't, it's going to be sitting there. If something does happen, you can go out the same day and pick it up.
Exactly.
Okay.
Everybody fine with that? You want to order it now and ratify it?
What's that? I
said
it's fine with 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Tell them to put it on hold.
Yeah.
Fine with that, Adam?
Absolutely.
Okay. Moving forward that way. Thank you.
The second item is design engineering for the sanitary sewer cleaning and televising. This is budgeted for next fiscal year. We sent out, as part of our agreement with the county for our sanitary sewer system, there's a CMOM program. The CMOM program indicates that we're supposed to clean and televise 10% of our sanitary sewer system every year. In preparation for that cleaning and televising, I sent out a request for proposals to engineering companies to do the front-end documents, design the project, take it out for bidding, and submit a recommendation to award to the contractor to do the work. I sent out proposals to 5 engineering firms. 4 engineering firms responded. All of them were well-qualified and had good, solid proposals. Robinson Engineering was the lowest cost. I recommend that we go with Robinson Engineering. They're an established engineering firm. They've done this type of work for several municipalities. They're fairly new to the Lake County area. They haven't done many jobs in our neck of the woods. But I talked to them about it. They seem confident that it won't be an issue. And for a project like this, I'm willing to recommend we go with them.
And they have a new office in Volvo right next door, too, correct?
Yes, they do.
So they are close.
Is this the organization that was at the National Night Out? They had, there was an organization that showed that structure, because it's a tube that goes down through the pipe, right, and looks at it, and you can see it on video and what have you. At least they look at it that way.
I don't know if it was at National Night Out or not.
It was at the village all down in the south, southern part of Round Lake, where you guys are at, in the public works building. And what it was that they were there, and then anyone who came up, they were showing how it worked. But I understand.
It's a camera that floats right on us, and there's the remains, and they videotape everything so that later on we can go back and watch the tapes and look for cracks and breaks.
Right,
so
you see cracks and breaks and stuff that's about to break, narrowing in the pipe itself and all that kind of stuff.
Yes. So once the galvanizing is done, then we'll have to go out for our piece to have somebody look at all the videos.
Absolutely.
And come up with the program for all the repairs or blinds or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This proposal is just to put the packet together to look for the companies that will actually do the televising?
Correct. This does not include any actual televising work. This is for the bid document.
And it came in at how much?
The lowest was Robinson at $5,000.
All right, $1,600. Very good. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Move forward.
Thank you.
Thank you, Adam. Special events, do you have anything?
Project that we're working towards Arbor Day, which will be happening pretty soon.
Yay.
We start to speak to the different vendors this week. I am going to try to get more of the trees for the raffle instead of quite so many pieces to give away, because ComEd has agreed to bring over 200 pieces to give to homeowners as well. So we'll have a lot to give away already. With what we have in our backyard, so to speak, and with what we can get, I think we're going to razzle dazzle them.
Great. Good news. Thank you.
Thank you.
And on to police. Chief?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, members of the board, the police department has an agenda item summary in your packet, and it is a request to adjust the salary ordinance from an opening for one full-time CSO right now. What we're asking to do is to eliminate that position and replace it with 3 part-time CSOs. The part-time CSOs would be paid $20 an hour, which would make us competitive and get higher quality people. We would also limit their time to 1,000 hours, or just under 1,000 hours a year. That would give us about 17 to 20 hours extra a week of CSO coverage. And we'd be able to, with the 3 people, we'd be able to schedule where we need them more than just having one full-time 8-hour person that works Monday through Friday or Tuesday through Saturday. And in the end, the first year we anticipate would save us about $10,000, probably a little bit more as the years pass.
What's your idea on your schedule? I mean, did you fit them all on a clock or peak hours?
There are no peak hours. It'd be at 1 in the morning probably to handle the train station and school let in, and then we'd probably adjust the afternoon to help with school let out, and then set the hours on Saturdays.
It's a great idea.
Thank you.
I thought it was a splendid idea because it saved money. And also, you got 3 feet instead of one.
Exactly.
So it made good sense, and it made good business sense.
There are another marked unit that's out there for the bad guys to look at. That's what I always looked at. You know, so I'm all for it.
Me too.
Saving money and more man hours.
It works great.
Chief, your insightfulness and leadership is making that department extremely fine. Steve, did you have something?
In the interest of transparency, one of the comments was increasing the pay rate. So at the next meeting, Keith and I have to bring the salary ordinance, which would tie into this police department AIS. Although the final salary ordinance probably would have to be approved to the first meeting of May, but I don't think we pass one in place by that day. Just to let you know, this cat, that ordinance will be forthcoming for salaries.
Very good. Chief, you have full board support on that. Thank you. And under administration.
I'm going to sort of wing it here because I'm having a problem with my tablet. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Board of Trustees. The first one is this welcome contribution to waste and waste management proposal. I believe on February 29th, we presented to the board an issue regarding electronics. The electronics program, should we be in it or not? All members of SWALCO decided not to continue that program but one. Then subsequently, what happens is the village board of Grays Lake decided to tell SWALCO they are willing to donate $20,000 to continue that program through the end of December. All that in your board packet. Subsequently, in front of you, hard copy. They have 248 more communities that are willing to contribute, I believe, only through, to keep the program only through the end of December. Yes. Also included is a proposal for waste management to do household recycling collection. And how that works is they have a program out there, $1.25 per house, but you just can't put the stuff out of the curb. You actually have to call waste management individually. That program by itself costs annually, it costs us an estimated $75,000. At this point in time, I prefer not to even look at that program because SWALCO is also looking at such programs. There may be power in the group to get a better deal if they want to go that route. So the question tonight, our SWALCO representatives will have a special meeting April 14th. They would like some guidance from the board. If the board wishes to contribute some extra dollars to keep the program going to the end of December only. Do I have those facts right?
Well, what's your recommendation from our finance department? What can we afford to donate or not?
Okay. Finance department? We have money in the budget, but I don't know how much to donate. That's a board decision. I really wish we would have told us how much we could find out how much the others are donating.
$2,000 to $20,000.
Yes. My problem is, what happens after that? I just, sometimes I feel like you're throwing money to the wind, and then what happens? And I understand there's a lot of issues out there. I honestly, my gut says there's not going to be TVs and paint on the side of the road just yet. But as that stuff gets stored at people's houses in the future,
I think you'll start seeing that more and more. I don't think you'll see it right away. Hopefully by then, either state laws change, which they're trying to do, or some, or commodity prices go up so that program can come back. I mean, if you're looking for a specific answer, honestly, I don't have one for you tonight. So I think we should contribute something. If it is, it should be minor. But what's, I mean, defined by...
$2,000.
My question is, what have we contributed in the past?
Well, we've always been making money on these commodities in the past, and now since these commodities are earning nothing, we're making nothing, and therefore we're not even funding the program because we're not making money coming in to pay for it.
There is a fee just being swapped along.
Yeah.
I mean, there is just a fee for that, which would mean everybody pays annually based on your population. $1.25.
It went up a quarter.
Dollar, something like that.
Yeah, I want to say closer to $1.50, I think.
Question. Hazardous materials, paint, volatile chemicals, etc. For years, it's been placed as depositories that residents can take those things to. That's still in existence.
Yes. You're going to have to help me. Perhaps Highland Park and Waukegan will keep their sites open through year end. And I believe those sites also take not only electronics, but other household goods.
Some by appointment and some only with advance notice.
Yes, but after December, I'm not so sure those sites are going to stay open because they're so expensive to run. That was our contribution to Swapco, basically, those two places. So that's closing them because of the cost. They're sort of saying, instead of contributing money, we will keep our sites open for anybody to drop off their stuff.
So those are still going. There's still an option because that's one of the things that I've always wanted, the question I wanted answered. Is what is the option if through Squawk Club they're not picking up electronics? What about other hazardous materials? What options do the residents have? I have a hard time coming up with $20,000 for a project that's less than a year. And we don't know. I've been a homeowner for 38 years, I think. I remember throwing one television out. I know that it's more disposable society now, but I don't think we're going to have our streets lined with televisions. And it seems like we're trying to build this church before we even have a congregation. Just passing our budget and looking at the financial forecast, I think we should be really prudent on what we're going to be doing with this situation, since we really don't know what the impact is going to be to our residents. And as long as they still have an outlet to take those items to, I say that we need to be very conservative.
I've been keeping my ear to the ground through a lot of the different blogs and whatnot, and you know, certainly giving out information when people ask, how do you get rid of this? And don't those TVs been out of their driveway for 2 weeks now? When are they going to get rid of it? There's one over in Madrona, I believe. And people are already faced with, what am I supposed to do with it? And I think for us, the best thing we can do is to keep the answer out in front with the people. Let them know that, you know, we have Highland Park and we have Waukegan open. And what we collect that's left out on the street, I think those homeowners, you need to tag them and let them know this is no longer available to us, and it's not going to get picked up any longer. We need to let our residents know what we're really facing. They're not in the know yet. I think they'll work with us if they just know how.
I guess we'll have this meeting tonight and for the two reps, the point is, well, we're going to have an emergency meeting. Do we say we can make a contribution by side of threshold? I mean, do we want to be the open? No, if we're going to make a contribution, but we don't, do we care?
Yeah.
And those are that. So those are some things you need to think about tonight. I also think you can be awfully conservative
determine tonight what that maximum threshold would be. What we think we can give based on our financial position.
$2,000.
I'll agree with that.
We're not looking for a vote. We're looking for just a consensus for the rents.
Looking at the villages that are contributing, are any of them closer to our size? A lot of them look a bit bigger and have much more revenue than we do. So I think we should look at a number that's more in keeping with our finances, more so than in accordance to what somebody else has given.
According to the law, the minimum is $2,000 and the maximum is $20,000.
Well, that's what it's been, but that doesn't mean that there is a minimum or a maximum. They'll take whatever we're willing to give.
Fine with that, Mr. Finance Director? Let's give the direction.
The finance has been trained, so I have to strain your that's no more than 2,000. What we can talk to you will be 14th meeting, but I give the guidance from the board. And that is the suggestion tonight. I'm more than willing to say that Max is a grant. Call a couple places or call Washington, whatever they give it, and see what we can do. I don't think we want to be the only one not to grant it.
And if we can keep this program going until December and maybe even an extra month after that, Christmas season, that's when you're going to see a lot of people wanting to get rid of those electronics they no longer want to. And I'm kind of curious, we're going to crunch it then. It could be a bad time to.
We're going to make the contribution this fiscal year before then because I know we're running this place, so of course, we're under budget. And who knows if you're going forward after this year.
And just for the record, we're not talking about approving it, that there will be an expenditure that will be brought back to the board for final approval.
I would be comfortable
with whatever staff recommends. Maximum 2,000.
Right. You're maxing with 2,000.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all for the direction on this.
Yes.
Next.
The next item is the capital improvements program discussion. I have no PowerPoint for that one for the budget or save the capital improvements. I just want to open it up to see if anybody has any questions on it. Nothing has changed since last time. I don't know if anybody's noticed, but we did take down at least four of the wooden signs because they were getting really bad looking, and I prefer just to take them down and replace them at a future date just because I'm not looking at it. But that's in the capital plan, new signs, eventually. Maybe different locations. But there's no question that we'll move back on the board. The next one is the 2007 budget draft discussion again.
2017.
Oh,
I wish
we could go back. Budget draft discussion. Again, if there's any questions, let me know. We spent a lot of time on this. I appreciate liaison's input. We appreciate the department head's input. It is, I think it's going to be one of those where it's on paper now, but the action has to occur to make sure we're on track and stay on track. With that, I can open it up for floor questions.
Any questions?
I've never been so comfortable with budget process in my life.
I guess capital and budget, I'm just requesting they go to consent. Those two items need to move forward to the next board meeting.
That'll work.
It works?
Works for me.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Any new topics? If not, yes, sir.
Just so you know, I am looking at parking park. That was a question the mayor wanted me to take a look at. I ran out of time. My apologies, but I'm trying to get it on the next agenda, at least for some history, what's happened, how did it happen, and then for a board discussion.
Thank you, sir.
Do we have any more information on the handicap parking at the train station?
I talked to one woman, which wasn't the person emailed everybody who's handicapped. She has no problem paying. She received a ticket. The ticket was waived. She had no problem with that because after I told her the history, she thought we just started enforcement all of a sudden and didn't tell anybody. Her comment to me was, yes, I'm handicapped. I'm more than willing to pay my fair share. The other one was this question.
Yes, of course.
The chief called her today. She still feels as though she doesn't need the money.
I just forwarded you, the chief, and the mayor. She just responded to an email that I sent to her with her comments. So I think you guys can.
My other comment, too, is we met with a couple of veterans and I asked them, both were handicapped. We talked about a lot of things, but both of them also, to me, said, you know, we'll pay our fair share if we get
it. Without saying something that maybe is wrong or isn't politically correct, excuse me, there's a law. That's what he's writing the ticket on. Am I correct?
If you have
it's an ordinance. Right.
Yeah, but also, right. Gray or yellow placard, you can get to park there for you.
Right, but our officers know about that, right? And if you don't have that gray or yellow placard or green or polka dot or whatever it is, you got to pay. So that's not that. And I think the chief did it very eloquently because I hadn't got that same email. And what it was is that someone, you know, and I was all for, and I'll say it like this, I was all for saying, why don't we just forget about that? You know what I mean? Because I can understand that handicapped people need some help. But that's the reason why we have placards for people's cars and what have you. And they go and they get a doctor. It's not my job to sit back and say who's as sick and who isn't or who's not handicapped or whatever. And we have an ordinance, and we're supposed to uphold those rules and regulations. And that's just how simple it is.
Oh, yeah. And it's been before the table without the U.S. added on this board at 24 years. And also, those placards are only for the extremely disabled, not for the ones who are somewhat disabled, you know, with the disabilities. They get a placard, they're disabled for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in favor of not letting them pay that, but if you ride at $1.50, we don't know if it's serious, why starting now?
Let's put it like this, if it comes up for a vote, then you don't have to deal with it. We can always do that.
Department of Motor Vehicles, in reference to the gray and yellow sticker, has very precise descriptions on the type of disability that would allow them not to pay. They cannot lift their arms up past a certain height, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We looked into other municipalities in the area. Most of them require it. This is something that we wanted to do X amount of years, but it was an oversight. We're not changing anything. We're just enforcing the law that's been there. I think it's written that way. That's what most municipalities do, and we should. Steve did a quick calculation for the 18 years that this person's been parking there for free. Comes up to around $6,000. So, you know, we're going to spend how much money on doing the rehabilitation on that parking lot this year? Striping it, snow plowing it, salting it. It's not for free. It is a use that needs to be paid for.
In the email I just forwarded you, she mentioned numerous communities. I'd like to know if those communities are, in fact, giving them free car lunch. So somebody could look into that. So.
I know we contacted a lot of communities. Three were free. The others were not. This field else, I have to check. There was a couple she listed I knew were free. Fox Life is free.
Let me know.
They charge. these charges.
I think he says Libertyville, Fox Lake, Great Lake.
And this is another one of those topics that's been brought up because of one person. Not like we have a group of people are saying, hey, why? This is one person's discontent with having to pay their fair share. And does not meet the qualifications of the Department of Motor Vehicles. Any other discussion? If not, make it a motion to adjourn.
So second.
I think it was Trustee Foy. Second answer came from Trustee Fry. He got skipped right over, Sue. All in favor?
Aye.
We are adjourned at 8:04 p.m.
Girls can't get it.